It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Who is your Monday MVP? You'll have 24 hours to vote into a Monday. Boy, if we were talking baseball, you could put Fernando Tatis in there because the Padres bash Dodgers pitching and evening the series between those two NL West rivals. Or if we're including baseball, how about Nick Castellanos and the humongous hits that he came up with, including the walk-off hit that drove in the winning run as the Phillies and Mets went back and forth in a wild affair in the late stages of their game two. So both of those NLDS are tied right now, one game apiece. The American League is back in the spotlight on your Manic Monday. 855-212-4227. We're getting to as much of the football as we possibly can. Really enjoy seeing your reaction to some of my tweets during the day on Sunday, just because I know we get very fired up on NFL Sundays. And this was kind of the extra long, supersized NFL Sunday. And we'll have this moving forward through the next few weeks. Now, we've got teams on bye as well. And so the records start to get a little uneven. And we're trying to shoehorn every last bit of football we can into this show. But considering that Cowboys and Steelers didn't end until an hour before we went on the air, and we had Major League Baseball, as I say, a pair of NL games, it's a lot. Even for your host, who is masterful at jamming as much as possible into 4 hours of radio. And so, again, love to connect with you at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. We'll get the post up for Monday MVP on Facebook. Actually biffed on that last week, and I really apologize. But it's already up on our show account at Amy After Hours. All right, why don't we talk about Bills and Texans? This was your game, your pick for After Hours must-see game of the week. And it did not disappoint, though I would say Josh Allen is probably disappointed in his performance. This was uncharacteristic for the Bills All-Pro quarterback. And early on, it was all Houston. Home, remember, trying to offer some vindication for Stephon Diggs, who did admit after the game he was pretty emotional about facing his former team.
Bunch formation right now, a shift into the eye. First down at the Buffalo 15. Stroud digs in. Stover in motion to the left. Hand off Akers over the left side. 10 to the outside. 5 to the end zone. Cam Akers, touchdown, Houston. First down Texans to begin this possession at the Houston 33. Stroud fakes the toss. He has time in the pocket. He's going to gun it long. And Nico Collins is there at the 15, 10, 5. Rock and roll. Touchdown, H-Town. A bomb from Stroud to Collins.
Listen to those fans in the background there at NRG Stadium. Mark Vandermeer with the calls on Texans radio. So, yeah, a pair of chunk TDs on back-to-back first-half drives for C.J. Stroud and his offense. Cam Akers gets in from 15 yards out, and then a 67-yard deep strike to Nico Collins. And this one was over the top, quickly becoming, or has already become, his wide receiver one, even with Stephon Diggs on the roster. Unfortunately, though, it seemed like Nico got injured stretching out to get that touchdown and then even getting into the end zone. So across the goal line, it looked like he slowed down and ultimately was ruled out with a hamstring. So that's kind of tough, right? Because you're missing the top target for CJ. As for Josh Allen, he started out 1 of 9 in the first half, 56 yards. That's it for this Josh Allen offense. Now, I know that they're missing pieces, like including Stephon Diggs now, who's on the other sideline in this game. And he does the best that he can, similar to, say, we'll use Kansas City, of course, because that's the comparison that is always there. He's trying to, and he is elevating the level of play of everybody around him. I know that he's got a couple of guys that are holdovers with him on the offense. James Cook, their number one running back. But they were without Khalil Shakir in this one. They have a rookie in Keon Coleman, a new wide receiver there in Mac Hollins, who's had an elevated role for him. I mean, they've got Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, but we're not talking about a tight end heavy offense, really. Not a lot of the time. I know the Bills want to be able to run the ball. A lot of times it's Josh Allen who's trying to make something from nothing. But in this particular game, the Bills barely managed 100 yards of offense in the first half, and he was off. He and his receivers were off. There were times where his receivers were going one way, he was going another way. It was majorly out of sync for the Bills to start this game. However, they lock in. Can you imagine what that halftime conversation was like for the Bills? They lock in for back-to-back touchdown drives to start the second half. And I like kind of the dichotomy between the first and the second half, or the way the first and second half started, because it does show the signs of, I think, a winning team. If you've got one who can get punched or kicked in the, let's not kick anyone in the gut, kicked in the groin, if you will, and then is able to rally and to find some type of way to kind of fight their way back into it, I think that's huge. And so the Bills were able to do that. And Josh Allen not only has James Cook alongside him, but did you see the sequence with Keon Coleman? Now, this is his rookie. And this is what I'm talking about, the Bills being out of sync. On one drive in the second half, you've got Keon taking a Josh Allen pass to the back of his helmet. Keon wasn't even looking for it. The ball hit him in the back of the helmet, and he throws his arms up in the air like, ow! I mean, it was just that type of comical moment that you would see on a bloopers reel. So the rookie is not looking for the pass that comes to him from his quarterback. It bounces off the back of his helmet, but he does get another opportunity, I would say in large part because of necessity, and he does what he needs to do with the football this time.
Here's the snap. Back to pass, and it's complete to Coleman. Gets away from the tackler, 35-30, 25-20, 15-10, 5, and he somersaults into the end zone for a touchdown. 49 yards, the rookie sticks it in the end zone.
Talk about a little bit of mini redemption for Keon Coleman, who probably felt like a dope after that ball hit him in the back of the helmet. So I do appreciate that it's a learning curve for a bunch of these guys, but also it's a learning curve for quarterbacks. It's a learning curve for coaches and OCs as they're trying to get acclimated and get comfortable with a different roster. But it's up to the best quarterbacks in the league to raise the level of play of everyone around them. But this was a tough one for the Bills, and they definitely did not play a complete game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. That's Chris Brown on Bills Radio. Ultimately, Josh finishes 9 of 30 for 131 yards, but he does have that 49-yard dazzler with his rookie receiver. Now, C.J. Stroud and the Texans offense, without Nico Collins, they still have plenty of weapons, but they do go on 4 consecutive possessions in which they come up empty, including a Stroud red zone interception, and then he gets sacked, and the ensuing fumble is picked up by Buffalo. But you kind of see both defenses here flexing their muscles. Neither offense able to do a whole lot. It's just a bunch of disjointed possessions at this point in the game. So Buffalo is able to tie it with a field goal. Now that comes after the sack and the fumble. They tie it with a field goal and we're 20 each. And this is where I'm kind of like blown away, because we know these teams have so much potential. We know these teams really can do great things with the football when it's in their hands. But also, again, that you're talking about different people around the quarterbacks, and it's still early in the season. So Cam Akers being new for the Texans. Dare Ogunbowale, remember, he caught the game-winning touchdown a week ago, but he's been elevated to a more premier role because of some of the injuries that they have. So no Joe Mixon for the Texans right now. Without Nico Collins, you're talking about different guys having to step up. So Tank Dell was asked to do more in the second half. And again, there are times where you see that C.J. Stroud and his receivers are not completely on the same page. And one of those happens late in the fourth quarter. You've got a Houston possession in which C.J. Stroud, he's under duress. He's trying to get rid of the football. This is deep in his own territory. He's trying to get rid of the football. He throws it out. So he's still in the pocket, facing pressure. He throws the ball out toward the sideline, presumably to get away or to throw it away, but he doesn't throw it far enough, and there's no receiver out there. Once you see the tape and see the replay, you realize his target goes out and then breaks back in. And so maybe his receiver was supposed to be there, but wasn't there. By the time CJ throws the ball, it's called intentional grounding. So yeah, kind of crazy sequence of events where, again, you can see both the Buffalo Bills and the Houston Texans still trying to find that rhythm and that groove with different pieces and guys around them. They're just not on the same page. So yeah, that intentional grounding forces a punt. And then, in a mere 25 seconds, the Bills managed to give the football right back to the Texans. And this is tough because they throw the ball on three straight snaps. They go three and out, 25 seconds with the football. If nothing else, you're trying to run out the clock. Even if you aren't going to get into field goal range, you're trying to run out the clock. And instead, three pass plays, three incompletions. And so they run almost no time off the clock, Sean McDermott.
The end of game situation on offense, we needed two. We're a tough situation, three timeouts. They're holding three timeouts. I got a good field goal kicker. We needed to run the clock and move the chains, and that's on me. We didn't do that there, and that's my fault.
Yeah, they definitely did not, and I'm sure it's frustrating. Not that you don't believe Allen can connect with his receivers, but the passing game had been out of sync all day long. They didn't have a whole lot there, but even beyond that part, the fact that Allen and his receivers were woefully disconnected in this game, how about just the fact that you're trying to keep it away from C.J. Stroud? You're trying to keep it away from the Texans, if for no other reason to get to overtime. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So Houston gets the ball back, takes just one play, right? One snap where they set up Kaimi Fairbairn. And even though it kind of blows me away this season, we are seeing 57, 58, 59-yard field goal attempts, even in the low 60s. These are becoming routine for NFL kickers.
Here's the snap by Weeks. The spot. Here's the kick by Fairbairn. Has the distance. And it's good! Fairbairn wins it at the buzzer! The Texans beat the Bills! 59 yards for the dub! On H-Town Day, 23-20.
When it comes off my foot, it's not up to me anymore. I did all I could, and had a nice little cut on that one that went through. I'm thankful, and then it's just celebration. Enjoy it with my teammates.
Kaimi Fairbairn, 59-yard field goal with no time left. And that's how the Texans move to 4-1. They're perfect at NRG Stadium. That's how the Bills fall to 3-2. But mostly it's just the missed opportunities. And certainly Allen mentioned those after the fact. Uncharacteristic struggle for him in this game through the air. It felt like there could have been many more opportunities or maybe different decisions made, again, by Sean McDermott.
And when you talk about holding three timeouts, where we were, they've got a really strong leg field goal kicker. We knew that. There's a potential, if the situation goes three straight runs, you're running 6 seconds off potential each time, and you're maybe in a similar situation, So either way, we got to do a better job, and that starts with me 100%.
Ultimately, it does come down to execution. I get that. If they get even one first down there, we're talking about maybe a different situation, but that's not what happened. And while they were failing to move the chains, they were also not running time off the clock. As for CJ Stroud, there were some some wasted possessions for the Texans as well. And that intentional grounding, that was rough. But he ends up over 330 yards passing and has the ball in his hands at the end so he can set up his kicker.
When you got guys to lean on, like we talked about earlier in the week, just playing complimentary football, Kaimi had my back. The defense had my back. My O-line had my back. Everybody had everybody's back. We had the defense back in the first half. Like, we all play complimentary football. A lot of great things are going to happen for this team.
Stephon Diggs, in facing his former teammates, some of them, Josh Allen specifically, he goes for 82 yards on 6 catches, and finally, after the game, admitted this, is a big deal.
I can't say I didn't think about this game when I got traded. Wondered if we played them, and then obviously it was on the schedule. But I take it one game at a time, and I knew when this game came about, I was just trying to take advantage and get a win for my team. But obviously it's emotional. I can play with a lot of emotions, so I'm emotional.
You can hear it there at the end. I hope he says, yeah, I play with a lot of emotions, and he turns. You kind of feel him or see him turn to the camera and go, I'm emotional, as if we didn't know that. So, yeah, huge victory for the Texans for a lot of reasons. I could break into some Whitney Houston there for a lot of reasons, but because they had to hold off a challenge by the Bills, because they were without Nico Collins, they're still without Joe Mixon now for the fourth consecutive game, because CJ Stroud was unable to get them into the end zone in the second half, like they didn't score touchdowns after the first quarter, and they were still able to pull out a win in this game. So yeah, team effort, and CJ points to his kicker and the defense and others around him for helping to pick him up. And I like that he focuses on the team. So this is a tough one for the Bills. 3 of 14 on third down. And yeah, just not often that you see Allen in that type of a position where just can't make it work no matter what he does. Generally, he can exert his will and good things happen, but not in this one, not against the Texans. All right, coming up, while we're looking at the rest of the AFC East, did you see what happened with the Patriots and Dolphins? That was maybe not a game that you were going to spend 3 hours watching, but I mean, the Dolphins, they pick up a win, and that's huge. So I'm not sure how the Patriots feel about losing to a Dolphins team that doesn't have its first or second quarterback options. Also in the AFC South, as we talk about the Texans moving to 4-1, still one team in that division that was seeking its first win of the season. Colts with Joe Flacco, no Anthony Richardson, and the Jaguars. Could this be the game in which Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars get back in the win column? At A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours to vote for Monday MVP. Also on our Facebook page, I'll put that up right now. Back of the hour, we're going to get to Bengals and Ravens because that was a doozy too. We've still got Jets and Vikings from London, which is how the weekend started out, at least the NFL Sunday started out. Oh gosh, and if you missed the end of Cowboys and Steelers, it didn't finish up until an hour before we went on the air. Plus playoff baseball. Yeah, it's a lot to jam in, but it's a good challenge to have. It's a good problem to have, if you will. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Four-man front for the Colts. Trevor drops and looks. Fires deep downfield. Got a man. It's Brian Thomas Jr. 50 in the Colts territory. 35, 30, 25, 10, 5. Touchdown. Brian Thomas Jr. just went 85 yards. How good is that? And the Jags have taken the lead.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody on After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Asking for a friend, can Joe Flacco win Comeback Player of the Year for a second season in a row, or is that a no? I think this is terrific. The fact that we've got Joe Flacco starting again, not that I want Anthony Richardson to be injured. We need to know what he's all about for the Colts, and I'm sure it's frustrating. But man, the Colts did the right thing by picking up Flacco in the offseason when the Browns chose not to retain him. I'm sure they regret that decision. We'll have to get to that coming up. But another Flacco start for Indianapolis on the road in Jacksonville, a winless team to this point. And the very first drive is a 6 minute plus possession. So about 6 minutes and 10 seconds. And right away, Flacco finds Michael Pittman for a 1 yard score. But Jacksonville finally able to spark the offense. Trevor Lawrence on his birthday, maybe that's the motivation, maybe he feels differently, but early in the second quarter, he chucks a deep ball to Brian Thomas. You hear it there on Jaguars radio for an 85-yard score. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, middle of the third quarter, and I think it's important to point out some of the moments that get us to where we are, if you will. It's not just about the quarterbacks and their deep shots and running backs and their dazzling scrambles through defense. No, sometimes it's as simple as we need a big run back from our returners so that we can have a short field. And that's exactly what happens. 53-yard punt return, and it puts the Jaguars right there into the red zone. And if you weren't watching the Jaguars and don't know what Tank Bigsby did on this day, it's worth going back and watching highlights.
Bigsby the running back. Trevor under center. Two tight end set. Both on the left side. They run it with Bigsby to the middle of the field. There's a big hole. Broke a tackle. Got it to the 10. He's still grinding. He's still on his feet. He's into the end zone. Touchdown. What a run by Tank Bigsby. And the Jags have extended the lead.
You know, the part that you don't hear there, and I'm not sure if it's because they couldn't see it from the press box. Bigsby does muscle his way 19 yards into the end zone, then fumbles the ball when he crosses the goal line and has to fall on it for the touchdown. So actually on the official box score, at least the one that I was looking at, they listed as a fumble recovery for a touchdown by Tank Bigsby, not a 19-yard rush for a touchdown by Bigsby. But still, it was his ball, and he was able to get on it in the end zone. Just a moment, I think, that could potentially signal the Jaguars' fortunes starting to turn, and that's on them. Now, it was a chaotic fourth quarter with a total of 41 points. Who would have thunk it? Colts and Jaguars in the fourth quarter, and they put up 41 points combined. You have six different scoring drives, including yet another opportunity for the Tank.
Two tight ends set. I formation this time on second and five. Bigsby the running back. They toss it to the left to Tank. He cuts it back to the middle of the field. That's good running. Tank Bigsby into the open field. 45, 40, 35, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. Tank Bigsby has exploded for another score. 65 yards. How good is that? And the Jags extend the lead.
See what I'm saying? On Jaguars radio, it feels like something changed with Trevor Lawrence and his offense in this game, which has got to be a lot of relief for not just him, but also Doug Peterson, whose job is firmly on the line, if you believe what we're seeing around some of the NFL insiders and the reports that are coming out of Jacksonville with them going the first month of the season and not getting any wins. Here's what you know about Flacco, though. He's going to go out there, he's going to take the football, and he's going to throw the ball because that's what he does well. There's no pressure on him now. He's latter stages of his career. He's essentially keeping the seat warm until Anthony Richardson can get healthy and get back on the field, and he kind of takes it all in stride. He's seen so much, pretty much everything that you can see. He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback behind a line. He can read the defenses, and he's not going to get flummoxed. And right now, he's throwing without any type of fear or hesitation. So a couple of, as we're talking about Tank Bigsby for the Jaguars, a couple of huge highlights for Alec Pierce and the Colts. Flacco finds him for 45 yards to set up a Trey Sermon easy touchdown run. And then Pierce becomes his target a little bit later in that fourth quarter when the Colts are starting to scare the Jaguars.
Flacco in the shotgun formation. Play action. Good protection. Lost it downfield for Alec Pierce. He's got it. 30. He's at the 20. Down the far sideline. 10. 5. Touchdown. INDY. Alec Pierce with fireworks in the fourth quarter. He strikes again. It's 34-33. And the Colts are 1 point away from tying the game.
What just happened? Again, you feel like the Jaguars offense found a rhythm finally, and maybe this was a breakout game for Trevor on his birthday. By the way, he's only 25, if you can believe it. And then you've got this massive comeback by the Colts on the road in that fourth quarter, engineered by the decades-old Joe Flacco. Just, this is crazy stuff in the NFL. I love it. The call's there with Matt Taylor on Colts Radio. So, yeah, they tie the game on that Alec Pierce 65-yarder with 2:40 to go. But, again, there are moments where you might think that Trevor Lawrence is settled and that the Jaguars, what we saw of them at the first two-thirds of last season, where they had a huge lead in the AFC South and then fell off the proverbial cliff at the end of the year. And they kind of picked up, you know, at the bottom of the ravine, if you will, to carry my analogy forward, my mental image, my visual picture, to carry that forward. They started in the ravine. They started at the bottom of the cliff this season and just looked so bad that you wondered if it was kind of mental with Trevor Lawrence and just not the same guy that we saw, you know, the first year with Doug Peterson. But he goes 3 for 3 on this drive, and Jacksonville earns a pair of first downs to set up a game-winning field goal attempt.
Cook puts it down, Little kicks it up, and the field goal is good! He drilled it! He drilled the 49-yarder, and the Jags take a 37-34 lead with 17 seconds to play in the ballgame.
Once again, on Jaguars Radio, man, did they need this win. On Trevor's 25th birthday, happy birthday, Trevor Lawrence, 371 yards, a couple of touchdowns, and a huge sigh of relief as they pick up their first W.
You know, I put the ball in our playmakers' hands. I was patient. Besides one play, got a little greedy to BT on the pick there. Besides that, I felt like, you know, we executed our plan how we wanted to. And it's not just me. It's the guys up front. I didn't get sacked today. I mean, those guys protected their butts off. And a lot goes into it. But, yes, I feel like I did my job and we won the game.
All right, Doug Peterson, you were a quarterback. You're a Super Bowl winning coach. What was different about Trevor today?
Trevor's the same guy every day.
Oh.
Honestly, you know, I didn't really see anything other than him working through some of the issues, you know, that we've had the first month of the season. And, you know, listen, Trevor's a professional, and he's our guy, and we continue to help him and support him and do everything we can for him.
Still, though, to have him take ownership of it, and Trevor Lawrence always does. He doesn't slough off responsibility on anybody else. I appreciate that he's very thoughtful. He always answers the questions that are asked of him, and he does take responsibility. To have him settle in, to have him look more comfortable, but just in general, a win changes so much in the NFL. That's huge. And also, while Travis Etienne is still your feature back, to be able to go to a bruising back like Tank Bigsby, who goes over 100 yards and has the 2 touchdowns, yeah, that's huge too for Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson.
Tank had a good game. It's just the way games go, you know. And happy for Tank. Had great for the offensive line, obviously, in those some of those situations there. But Travis is our guy, and Tank had a good game.
You want the ball last. But, hey, Shane said it to us in the locker room after the game. Like, this is the NFL. You're going to play games like this, and you got to be able to dig deep and try to find a way to win.
Seriously, the Joe Flacco wrinkle in 2024, I'm telling you, it's as much fun as it was in 2023. Flacco throws for 359 yards. Stop it. He also has 3 touchdowns, and I know the Colts come up short, but he does engineer, at least on the Colts' part, a wild rally in the fourth quarter. So I'm here for more Joe Flacco. Though, again, I don't mean to say that I want A-Rod to remain injured. That's kind of a tough storyline for him to start his career as well. All right, good stuff. In the early round of games, back and forth in many of the sites, including Jets and Vikings in London. So we'll get to that coming up. But did you see Bengals and Ravens? You want to talk about chaos and nuts and completely ridiculous in the final stages. We knew that it was going to be that way between Bengals and Ravens, but I'll tell you what, I didn't expect it to be a shootout the way that it was. So we'll get to that game coming up. At A-Law Radio to vote for your Monday MVP. I swear I'm going to get that post up on Facebook as well. We're jamming as much as we possibly can into our final 90 minutes, but with playoff baseball and Sunday Night Football not ending until the hour before our show. What are we? We've got the emoji with the eyeballs that are spinning. I love that one. That's one of my favorites. I think I overuse it. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. Let's begin with the baseball playoffs in Los Angeles. Fernando Tatis Jr. hit 2 of the Padres' 6 home runs And the Padres beat the Dodgers 10-2 to even that National League Division Series. At the game of peace, Yu Darvish allowed a run and three hits over seven. Game 3 Tuesday in San Diego. Now to Philadelphia. Mets and Phillies game 2. The game tied at 6 in the bottom of the ninth.
McGill at 1-2. Looks back at second. The pitch swung on. Line down the left field line. And that's going to win it. Castellanos has done it. Turner is scoring. And the Phillies walk it off. Here in the bottom of the ninth, a game 2 victory, 7-6.
Scott Fransky on Phillies Radio, series tied at 1, game 3 Tuesday in New York. Sunday Night Football in Pittsburgh, Dak Prescott threw a 4-yard touchdown pass to Jalen Tolbert with 20 seconds to go in regulation, and that gave the Cowboys a 3-point lead over the Steelers. All Dallas had to do was hold on.
From the 21, Fields to Pickens in the right flat. Standing and looking, there's a throwback to Seumalo, and he's tackled by Ferguson, but they keep his feet. Time's expired. Fields throws it across the field. There's a reverse lateral in the air. Ball's on the ground. Cowboys win.
Brad Chamm on Cowboys Radio, and the Cowboys beat the Steelers 20-17. Elsewhere, Giants over the Seahawks 29-20, Packers 24, Rams 19. Cowboys over the Browns 34-13, Broncos 34, Raiders 18. Cardinals beat the Niners 24-23. Dolphins 15, Patriots 10. The Jaguars over the Colts 37-34. The Texans beat the Bills 23-20. In overtime, the Ravens topped the Bengals 41-38. Bears 36, Panthers 10. And in London, the Vikings over the Jets 23-17. WNBA semifinals, game 4. The Sun over the Lynx 92-82. That series tied at 2. The Liberty back to the finals for the second straight year. They beat the Aces 76-62 to win that series 3-1. I'm Peter Schwartz.
Center shouts out instructions. Takes the snap. Quick toss. Henry right side loses his footing, bounces back up, churns his way forward, and he's in for the touchdown. Derrick Henry with his 100th career touchdown, and the Ravens cap their opening drive with 6. Lamar hands it to Henry right side. Henry's got a hole, and he's down to the 20-yard line. First down, Ravens. Derrick Henry was one broken tackle away from taking it to the house. They'll say his knee was down at the 21-yard line.
Just reached 10,000 rushing yards in his career, the 32nd player to do so. But those type of runs are the runs that are he's so close week in and week out of breaking. And those edge runs, when he can get his speed up and go downhill, defenders cannot stop him.
Milestone Sunday for Derrick Henry, his 100th career rushing touchdown, his 10,000th career rushing yard.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Usually when the Ravens are establishing the run, which they did early with Derrick Henry, you're not expecting it to be a shootout. Not that Lamar can't throw and not that they don't have receivers who can break free, but just the way that it started, Baltimore establishing control with a 6-minute possession to open this game in Cincinnati. Derrick Henry gets the 1-yard score. You hear it there with Jerry Sandusky on Ravens radio. And he also goes over 10,000 career rushing yards. Based on what he did last week with his 200 plus all-purpose yards, yeah, you wouldn't think that they would have to engage in a shootout with the Bengals. Now, what did Joe Burrow tell us? I need to be damn near perfect on Sunday in what is a battle, what he knew would be a battle against the AFC North foe that is Baltimore. And when these two teams get together, a lot of times it's a knockdown dragout, but not today, not this one. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Derrick Henry was your choice for Monday MVP a week ago. I don't think I forgot the four in the poll. We did talk about his name for this poll, but I think we went four other guys.
He's not there.
You can certainly, thank you, Producer Pete, you can certainly write in your votes as well. Find that poll up at Amy After Hours. 855-212-4227 is our number to reach us here at the Infinity Sports Network. All right, so right away, you can kind of see where it's going to be anything you can do, we can do better. And the Bengals' response is an 86-yard march. T. Higgins with an 11-yard catch to tie the game. They also get a safety, actually, on a Derrick Henry tackle in the end zone. Hard enough to bring that dude down, but in the end zone, yeah, that's tough. So the Bengals led 17-14 at the half. Joe Burrow connecting with Jamar Chase. We know that that's a very prolific combination in the NFL now that Jamar is back in his groove. So that first TD to Chase was a 41-yarder, and that's what put the Bengals in front in that first half. To start the second half, someone tell me where the defense was. Maybe sucking wind, maybe getting oxygen on the sidelines. Six straight touchdown drives between these two teams. It was back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And you had to wonder who was going to break the streak. Again, Joe Burrow said he had to be pretty close to perfect in this one. And yeah, for a while he was.
Burrow has three touchdown passes thus far. He's in the shotgun now on second and goal from the four. The Bengals up by three. Harris snaps it back. Burrow looks, throws,
nice.
Caught. It's a touchdown.
Yes,
Chase Brown with the catch, knocks over the pylon. Four touchdown passes for Joe Burrow. And the Bengals lead by nine with a PAT coming up. Joe's thrown four touchdown passes to tie his career high. Throws a short pass to Chase. Nice blocking on the edge.
Baby.
Jamar to the 40.
Oh, baby.
Spinning to the 50.
Oh,
it's
baby.
A foot race. Jamar to the 30. The 20. The 10. The 5. Touchdown! 70 yards. Burrow to Chase. Joe Marr does it again. And Cincinnati's lead could be back to 10 pending the PAT.
It definitely was back to 10. I'm sorry. I have great joy in listening to Dan Horn and Dave Lapham on Bengals radio. And the wild ride, the roller coaster, all the emotions, you feel it. If you're a Bengals fan, you feel it in their voices and in the way that they react. So, yeah, this was Joe Burrow at his finest for a good portion of this game. Five touchdown passes. He goes 30 for 39, has nearly 400 yards in this one.
Oh, that's baby. A foot race. Jamar to the 30.
And as for Jamar, I was pretty sure he was going to go over 200 yards. He came up short, but he had 10 catches, 193 yards, and two scores. And gosh, if not for the fact that it didn't turn out the Bengals' way, he would definitely be in our Monday MVP poll. Again, that's the Bengals Radio Network, and we've also got more in store from Jerry Sandusky on Ravens Radio. Okay, so where does the streak end? Well, after Burrow's fifth touchdown pass, we get them with a 10-point advantage. And here's where, if you haven't seen, I don't always recommend the TV calls, but if you haven't seen this TV call with Kevin Harlan for CBS, well, you need to go and look at it. It's on my Twitter, at A-Law Radio. This was Lamar Jackson at his finest.
Second and goal, ball just outside the Bengals' six. Justice Hill in the backfield. Lamar in the shotgun. Lamar bobbles the snap. Has to pick it up off the turf. He's being chased. Corralled. Stiff arms a man. Sam Hubbard. And finally slings in the back of the end zone. Touchdown! Isaiah Likely. Oh, my. Unbelievable. Lamar Jackson bobbled the snap. Picked it up off the turf. Stiff arms Sam Hubbard. A la Derrick Henry. Extended the play, threw back across his body, and hit the tight end. In other words, he did everything wrong for the perfect outcome.
Sandusky does a brilliant job himself. If you want to hear Kevin Harlan's call and see it with the video, I mean, Kevin's so over the top. It's tremendous. His entire sequence is masterful as well. So I just did retweet at A-Law Radio so you can watch it and see Kevin Harlan's version of the play-by-play. Again, this was Lamar Jackson from no to, oh yeah, in the span of maybe 15 seconds. So this was vintage Lamar. And that then puts the Ravens within striking distance again. So who would end the streak of touchdowns to begin the second half? Well, that would be Joe Burrow. He gets picked off by Marlon Humphrey. And so at this point, the game's still hanging in the balance, but it leads to a Ravens field goal with 3 minutes and 5 seconds to go. They're able to tie it. Okay, so they come back from those 10 points down. They're able to tie it. And here we are going into overtime. First possession of overtime. Lamar Jackson with a fumble. And this is brutal. Watching this game live, thankfully we're able to get the end of it in my market. I know you can always get it on Red Zone and NFL Network. So Sable, I was actually listening on the radio for a while. But this is one of those moments where you kind of go, oh no, facepalm. A crazy turnover at the worst possible time. So he fumbles the ball, but Evan McPherson misses the field goal kick for the Bengals. And it looked like it was going to be good. It's kickers are people too. It's your annual reminder that kickers are people too. So he misses, and it was quite a distance. It was a 53 yarder. And that puts the Ravens back in business in overtime.
And the Ravens take possession at their 43 with 4:26 left to play. Quick toss, Henry running to the left side, gets a block. He's at midfield, he's rolling, 40, 30, leg race, 20. The King is on his feet, 10, and he's taken down at the 6-yard line. Derrick Henry has put the Ravens in position to wrap it up. Justin Tucker from 24 yards to win it. Tucker's kick is up. It is good! And the Ravens have won in overtime in Cincinnati. Overtime is over. The Hayes in the barn. And the Ravens have defeated the Bengals in the wildest of ways.
Yeah, you think? Great calls from both radio networks, the Ravens and the Bengals. As for Derrick Henry, he rescues the Ravens in that OT. He takes that ball after the missed field goal, and he is able to get them into field goal range immediately. A 51-yard run, and boom, that is well within Justin Tucker's range, even the 2024 Justin Tucker. So yeah, Derrick Henry, what about this one?
Living here with a W, getting on that plane happy and not being mad. So, I'm just happy for everybody and, put a lot of work in out the week to be able to get these victories and glad we were able to get 3 in a row.
But this is not an exciting win for me at all. Not how the game ended, especially with us in overtime dropping the ball and then a fumble happened. So I'm ticked off about that. I didn't want to put my defense back out there and we were doing our offensive line was doing a great job, receiver was doing a great job. But we got it done. So it's cool. We got the win. That's all that matters.
We're not a championship-level team right now. We're not. I like to think that, we'll come back and improve throughout the season to get to that point. But right now, we are not, and we have to get better.
Man, both quarterbacks are ticked off at themselves, although Lamar Jackson has the benefit of knowing that they came away with the win in division. So they moved to 3-2, but you hear the harsh criticism of the Bengals as a whole by Joe Burrow, who fall to 1-4 now. And he says, we're not a championship level team. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.